language to the fact.
Boy, Trevor got me good cold water this time. Let's get run. Those of you that get water, learn from Trevor. You let the cold water run a good bit. No, you be quiet and listen to your brother. Okay? Let the cold water run long. And then fill it in the cup. All right. Now, last week I preached that God is a good God. And I developed that thought for probably half of the message. Our God is a good God. Now, that's such an obvious thing to us Wednesday night believers, but it's very true. I went on to say then that he is a God who blesses. And we looked at several scriptures, half dozen or more, that talked about how God blesses. And this matter of praying for a blessing is not just some kind of a wishful thinking and, you know, like a fairy that sprinkles some kind of magic dust and everything feels good. No, that's not the blessings of God. The blessings of God is his work in our life. He gives comfort and peace and calmness. He gives direction and understanding and wisdom. He gives insight. These are the blessings of God. Now, tonight, we're going to continue with this business about God. God who is demanding. And, of course, having prepared the message for tonight, as soon as Brother Richard prayed something to the effect of what God demands, right away, my ear perked up. He didn't know when he prayed about God, we want to meet your demands. But that is the very first point. God is a demanding God. And he can demand because he is God. And he can demand from his point of creation. He created, and the creator is in control. People who are stiff-necked, resentful, self-centered, will bristle at the idea of a demanding God. Now, a person may not think of themselves as stiff-necked, resentful, or self-centered. But if you bristle at the thought of God demanding, then which one of those three might you be? Because it's people who are stiff-necked, resentful, and self-centered who bristle at the idea of a demanding God. And of course, we hear that so frequently when we listen to news. And if Franklin Graham will frequently be interviewed. And then when he makes some clear statement regarding what God's word says, okay, people bristle at that idea. Why? Because they're stiff-necked. And because they are self-centered. They don't want God telling them what to do. Such people don't like a God who demands anything. They'd rather that God use suggestions. Okay? And of course, back when the Ten Commandments were coming in the news a lot, I forget the last name of the judge down in Alabama who got in trouble for having the Ten Commandments, you know, and not moving the Ten Commandments and so on. And I heard many a Christian say that what those people would like is to be ten suggestions. But it's not. Now, Psalm 18 and verse 30, if you'd like to turn to find it, Psalm 18 and verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It'll pass a test. The word of God, you don't have to worry about it. Okay, it's been tried. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. God's way is perfect. Perfect. And therefore, God is able by his word to make his demand. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" Now we know there are, and God knows there are no other gods. God well knows he's the only God. But he had Moses write, "Who is like unto thee among, O Lord, among the gods?" Man makes gods, some out of wood, some out of stone. He fashions their gods, and then they, in their own mind, they say what their God is like. And this is a strange thing, isn't it? Man makes the God, and then man worships the God that he made. It's backwards.
Yes, sir.
God created, and we worship him, and because God created, he can demand. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders?" These other gods made of stone and wood, they are not holy. They are not fearful in praises. They do not wonders. Indeed not, only the God of heaven. God demands holy living from us. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's what God says. That's what God demands from us, to be holy. Well, I can't be holy. You made the first step to becoming holy, to realize you can't be holy. When God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," he knows we are absolutely dependent upon him and his work in us if we are going to achieve any level of holiness. And God knows that we're not going to be divinely holy. He alone is God. But we can be holy as man. We can have that divine nature that Peter says we have within us. And that divine nature will enable us to be holy. Well, I never really thought of myself as being holy. Well, start thinking that way. Because you're never going to achieve holiness if you don't think that you can be holy. And we ought to think that we can be holy. We ought to think that God wants us to be holy. Or he would not have said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We live too much by the old nature. Too much of, even in our Bible-believing churches, too much of our ideas are based on maybe our good views, but nevertheless, they're based on our man views rather than on what God says. It's not proud. It's not a matter of pride to say I am trying to live holy. It's a false pride that would say, "Oh, well, I don't want to be proud now and think that I would try to be holy." That's false.
That's right.
When the word of God in 1 Peter 1:16 makes so clear, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Well, that's not how my family was. Well, change your family.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what do you mean? Start living by your heavenly family, your heavenly father, rather than your earthly one. I'll tell you, that's one of the most prevalent excuses that I hear from people when they ever do open up and share why they are the way they are. "Well, you know, that's the way my mother was. And I found out that's the way her mother was. So I guess I'm just following in the family line." Nothing funny about that at all. It's pathetic.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Because you've got a heavenly father. And he'll make a world of difference. My dear wife, her father was not the fatherly type. He was a good father in that he provided food and clothing and a house. But he was not the fatherly type. It's a blessing to see Rianne lean against you.
I love it. Yes, I love it.
See you put your arm around her. Those of you who've told your kids you love them. She'd give anything she could if she had some memories of her dad saying he loved her. And when she gets down, and she does, when she gets down, she'll go upstairs where she has her, I have a man cave, you know. She has a lady, what do they call it? Lady's shed, I guess they call them. So she goes upstairs. One corner is a sewing machine, the other corner is her computer. The other corner had exercise machines, but that's not going so well because of her back and leg. But then the other corner is where she has her Bible chair and her bookcases. And when she's down, I'll hear her going upstairs. And she's been blue, because I'll say to her, I said, are you good? What's wrong? Did I do something? So, I get that checked out. She'll say, no. She'll go upstairs. She'll come down, and I can see on her face she's different. I say, how'd it go? She said, I talked with my father. Mm-hmm. And my father took care of me.
I like it.
So let's quit blaming our relatives.
That's right, Pastor.
For what we are.
Yep.
We can be what we need to be. I mean, that's all there, and it's part of making us what we are. I'm not saying that you can ignore it in the sense of it leaving your thoughts, but don't dwell on it. You don't have to dwell on it. You have a heavenly Father, and you have brothers and sisters in Christ. Now find the ones you can confide in. That's not everybody. If you ever confide something in somebody and you hear about it elsewhere, then don't confide in that person again. They're obviously not able to be a confidant. But you can find somebody that you can confide in, somebody that'll keep it between you and them. And you can talk to them and you can cry with them. Don't try to make everybody that kind of person. You'll just get more discouraged. Yeah, be ye holy, for I am holy. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So we cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh. Those are the things that people can see. We don't do them anymore. We cleanse ourselves from them. But it says of the spirit too. That's those things inside that God wants us to be cleansed from inside that others can't see, but we know are there. And do you notice this? Let us cleanse ourselves from some filthiness of the flesh. No, it says all filthiness of the flesh. But we're satisfied if we get rid of the worst things.
That's right.
The biggest things. Yes. If we get rid of the things that trouble us most, then we're satisfied. But God says we shouldn't be satisfied till we are cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness. Well, I can't be perfect. Ah, gotcha. Perfecting means developing.
That's right.
Maturing.
Good, Pastor.
Okay, progressing.
That's right.
That's what God says. He doesn't expect you to be sinless, perfect, but he does expect you to progress in the matter of fearing God.
Yes.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? You know, God is not a senile old being who forgets our sin and just overlooks it. No, he says repent of it. God is not depicted as a white-haired old grandfatherly figure sitting in a rocking chair. That's not God. He is as active and as energetic and as demanding. God's not a wimp. God's not a pushover. God is good. God is blessing, God is demanding, and we are called to believe the unbelievable. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. Did you hear me? We are called to believe the unbelievable. Believe the Bible. There are many things we are taught in the Bible that are hard to believe, but believe them. You can trust God's word. As a matter of fact, you say, well, I can't understand them. You don't have to understand them. You're just told to believe them. Well, they don't make any sense. They don't have to make sense. That's what faith is. Faith, things which are, how's that go in Hebrews? Things which are seen and how?
So the things which are made are of.
Yeah, why don't I just look it up? Stand here and I look to pastor because he, okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So believe it even if you can't understand it. You don't have to be able to explain it. That's what faith is. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The heavens, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much different his ways are than our ways. Oh, but we can't. It's hard. It's hard to put up with it if I can't understand it. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around it. You're not asking. Where do you find in the Bible you got to wrap your mind around it? That is just an expression that we have that we think we got a little bit of an understanding of it. But even when we can't wrap our mind around it, we can still believe it. It's called faith. You say, well, just pray. Say, God, I don't understand this. As a matter of fact, I don't even like it. But I know that's not right. I know I'm supposed to have faith. And I know I'm supposed to believe it. But humanly, I can't believe it, Father. Will you help me, Father? Do you think God would be interested in us admitting that? He already knows it, but just like an earthly father. Listen, when Zane or Trevor do something they shouldn't, I know that's just pretend, okay? But I got to get a drink of Trevor's water. After you tell a whopper like that. Now I forgot what I was saying.
They're being naughty.
What's this?
So they're being naughty?
Yeah, we know that, but... I'm trying to think what it was I was saying. Oh, Chris knows when they've done something wrong. But what Chris wants to hear is for them to come willingly and say, Dad, I did this and such. Now, our Heavenly Father, He knows what. He knows when we don't think and believe and doesn't like something, but He wants us to come to Him and tell Him and just admit to Him that we're saying this to Him. And just as it pleases a father like Chris's heart for one of the sons to come and admit something, so our Father in heaven. Now, my son-in-law, Paul Parker, there's several things he drilled into his boys, but one of them was, don't ever lie to me.
That's right.
If you lie, if you lie, you'll be punished for lying. When you do something you shouldn't have done, don't lie about it. You'll be punished for what you did wrong. But if I find out that you lied to me about it, then your punishment will be worse. And, of course, the boys learned that he meant that. And then they learned it's really better to just admit it than to lie about it. Because they had two punishments. One for what they did, the other for lying. Okay? And he just drove that home. And so, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? that I might not sin
against God.
Let me tell you a story here. I think I'm going to end with this. A noted Bible teacher told about a Bible distributor named Michael Bilister. His name's not important. It doesn't mean anything to us, but I acknowledge it. He visited a small town in Poland shortly before World War II. And Bilister gave a Bible to a villager. That villager was converted by reading it. That new believer passed the book on to others. And each of the others got saved and then passed the book on to others. The cycle of conversion and sharing the Bible continued until 200 people had become believers through that one Bible. Don't ever minimize the importance of the Word of God. When you're witnessing to someone and they say, you quote a Bible verse and they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Use it anyway.
That's right.
Don't stop using it because they say they don't believe it. If a thief's breaking in your house, going to do you injury, and you take out a gun, and the man says, oh, I don't believe in that gun. Oh, well, then I won't shoot it. Whether he believes in it or not, if you use it, it'll do its job. And so will the Bible. When Bilister returned to Poland in 1940, this group of Christians, the 200, met together for worship service in which he was asked to preach the Word of God. He usually asked for testimonies, but this time he suggested that several of the audience recite verses of the Scriptures, having heard that they had memorized it. One man stood and said, perhaps we have misunderstood. Did you mean verses or chapters? These villagers had not memorized a few selected verses of the Bible, but knew whole chapters and books of the Bible. 13 people knew Matthew, Luke, and half of Genesis. Another person had committed the entire book of Psalms to memory. You see, that single copy of the Bible given by Bilister had done its work, transformed the lives that bore witness to the power of the Word.
Amen. Thank you. Yes.
Amen.
Never doubt the power of the Word. You say, well, I've never seen anything like that happen. Well, maybe you didn't have the faith that Bilister had.
None.
How many tracts in the last month that have some scriptures on it have you given out? Now, I picked on Trevor. Come on up here, Trevor. Come on up. Thank you. Come on. Okay, we have enough of these for each family to get one. Pass them out. While they're passing them out, I'll tell you what it is. You recall that I had told you about the ministry to persecuted people. And I've just drawn an absolute blank regarding the name of that organization.
Voice of Martyrs.
Thank you. Their most recent magazine that I got. Now, I have more, boys. If you need more, give it to Stephen. No. Tim needs one. All right, come here, Zane. I have more, but the reason... Okay. Get in there. Oh, my apologies. Thank you. No, we have the two boys doing it. Thank you for volunteering. All right. My printer was acting blotchy, so that's why. Does anybody else need a copy? Anybody else need a copy? Every family has one. And, you know, Tim, Sam, when I say family, you guys can each... When I pass things out and I say every family gets one, you reach out and get one, all right? Because good night to you and Randy and Dad and Mom take something I pass out and read, last guy in the list isn't going to get it for a month. So I consider you fellas your own family unit, okay? It's not dependent on your lodging place. It's dependent on your person, all right? Got that? I'm going to explain that again. And if you don't take them, I'm assuming you just don't want to bother reading them. So you better take them. Or if I see you don't take it, then I'll call you on that. Tim's not smiling much either. He realizes it could happen. Anybody else need one? Okay. Now, these are excellent. Now, I just said about this man who gave out one Bible and 200 got saved. This is about, the second story is about Bibles given into China. Obviously had to be smuggled. The first story that begins with the picture page. If you look at the picture, you will see three of the people, the man, the woman, and the boy in the middle, all have hanging off of ropes on their neck an audible Bible. Because in Africa, there are so many unwritten dialects, and even if they're written, so many people that don't read. What Voice of the Martyrs has begun to do has been to put the Bible on these audio Bible. That's all that's on there, the audio Bible. And then they can listen to it. And they can have others gather around them and listen to it. But then also on that, and this is fascinating, on the back of that picture page is Hearing God's Word in Nigeria. And that's about the picture page. But then over in this black column, what Voice of the Martyrs is now doing is putting the Bible on an SD card. That's like you put in your camera or in your phone, okay, or your tablet. And I got one, by the way, from my phone. Okay, that's what that is. And they're putting the Bible on it. And so this, if I remember right when I read the story, it talked about a fellow who put 20 of these cards in a duplicator, hit the button, and began to, in quotes, print 20 Bibles. Those SD cards can be gotten into countries and places that you can't get the printed word in just by the very bulk. I think it's the story about China that tells about how they went through customs. Yes, that's the one. They went through customs and they had two bags and 100 of them were confiscated. And you got to read the story. It's marvelous. Okay, but can you imagine how many SD cards you could get into a country? I mean, remember the on the airplane guy who had a bomb in his shoe? Well, you could hollow out the heel of your shoe and put how many SD cards in there and get them in a country. Marvelous. It's exciting when you think about it. The Word of God that can be taken. You say, well, they have to have the book and hold it in their hands and read it for it to be real. Don't tell the Old Testament people that.
That's right.
Because they couldn't read. They didn't even hold the scrolls. Right. They went into the temple and stood there all the while. Yeah, I love that. I'm going to finish. Oh, man, we're going to have to close again with prayer in here. I have no problem if we ever have somebody, and you listen, now you pay attention to me. I have absolutely no problem if we ever have somebody come into the church who says, let's stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read it.
Amen.
Okay, I have no problem whatsoever with that. But if we're going to do it in the Old Testament way, you're going to stay standing all the while that man expounds the Word of God. Because that's the way the Bible says it. Not only for the reading of it, but they stood all the while it was explained. Okay? And so maybe I won't sit down and I'll just stay standing. And he'll wonder. No, I'll sit. But so, you know, so digital, you know, is that as good as the printed word? Yes. It's the word of God.
Right.
The power is in the word, not the format. If the power were only in the printed word, Pastor and I'd be out of jobs.
Right.
All we do is come together and you open your Bible and read it. We don't have to explain anything. Oh, but we do, because it's done in the Bible. Okay? So I hope you'll take these papers home. I hope you'll read them. And if you didn't sign up to get that Voice of the Martyrs paper, I think there might still be some address slips over there. There are. Okay. I urge you to pick one up and go to their website and sign up for their magazine. It's free, just like the Times magazine is free. No, not magazine, four-page newsletter. This is so important. All right. Well, I did it again. I preached too much. I'll try and pick something not quite as interesting next time, in that way.
Okay. Now, as soon as that Dale Dunaway moves home, I'm going to have
Okay.
Okay. And then Brother Jim.